from the new general manager and new head coach. And there was a lot more to it than just what we heard when we last left the air yesterday. Stuff that I loved even more, because your biggest point about Glenn, I think, was spot on. That he's authentic. He's real. Succeed or fail, you know you're getting a real one with Aaron Glenn. So we could dissect some more of those comments as we go on. But the next big thing now, and the clock is ticking, what is going to happen with the quarterback?
I think he's going to be back. I don't know that, obviously. I think he's going to be back, and I think and I hope that Aaron Glenn wants him back. But, you know, there was a lot of, you know, very fiery things, very good motivational, you know, phrases and words that Aaron Glenn threw out there. But to me, you know, the biggest deal was when he said, this is not about Aaron Rodgers. This is about the roster. Yep. That is by far the most important thing that was said yesterday. The other stuff, whether it's the back page of the papers or getting those clicks, that's fun. You know, kind of, you know, reel us back in, lift us up, give us, pump a little life into our jet lungs, which is, we've been on the brink of death for a long time. He was the oxygen that we needed, you know, and listen, press conferences are just that. They're press conferences. But, you know, the previous regime, they just allowed Aaron Rodgers to do whatever he wanted. And I thought that he was just so clear in his edict. There will be nothing to interpret. You want to play? We want you back. If we don't know soon, we're moving on. And that's all there is to it. Rodgers got to let him know.
Well, I'm looking at it from the other side of things. And by the way, one of my favorite things yesterday was when Glenn said it'll be a, somebody asked, like, oh, is this with Aaron Rodgers? Is it going to be a football decision? He's like, yeah, it's going to be a football decision. Like, everything we do is a football decision. What do you think that this is? Which I love from Aaron Glenn. But I'm thinking at it from Rodgers' perspective, and I think that Rodgers' decision will be telling. Because the one thing from yesterday that I didn't like was Woody. I hate to say it, but he just doesn't get it. Anytime he opens his mouth, I feel less confident about the organization every single time. He just doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't seem to have a clue. Remember how we talk about Rex and there was no substance? There is zero substance with Woody. So the best hope here is that Woody gets the hell out of the way and that Muji and Glenn know what they're doing. But the reason why I say that it's important for me to see what Rodgers says is because I think Rodgers knows what he's doing. I think Aaron Rodgers knows how to win. It's been proven. Even at his age now, he still knows what it takes to win. He just doesn't have the same talent that he once had. If Aaron Rodgers feels like this Jets team and Aaron Glenn and Muji can be the guys to lead them out of the abyss into the postseason, then he's going to want to come back and play for them. So I think his decision, less about what the Jets are going to do, I think Rodgers' decision is going to be telling here.
Well, it is, but, you know, let's not forget, a couple of weeks ago, there was a story that, you know, Woody didn't want Aaron Rodgers back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seemed basically almost, oh, I don't want to quite say a done deal, but fairly deep down the road that Aaron Rodgers would not be back.
And that was a popular sentiment dating back to the season.
It was. And it was one that I protested. It was one that you protested as well. I think Aaron Rodgers could still play, and the thing that's appealing about him. You know, it's funny, you don't look at somebody like Aaron Rodgers as a bridge quarterback because of his resume, but why can't Aaron Rodgers be the bridge quarterback? I mean, if it's not Aaron, again, I do hear what you're saying. It comes down to what Aaron Rodgers thinks as well about the staff and the ability to lift him up and whether or not Glenn and Muji want him back.
Or if Woody's going to get out of the way. Like,
I think he will, for now.
Right, but I'm saying, we may think that he will, but that's why it's important for me to see what Rodgers says. We're all worried about what the Jets are going to do, whether they want Rodgers back or not.
Yep.
Well, it's also up to Rodgers if he wants to be back. And if he does, I think that's a great sign, not only because we prefer him to be back, mm-hmm. but because it would be telling about how the inner workings are going to go. If he doesn't, then to me, it casts some more doubt on Woody's impact and maybe the infrastructure not being up to Rodgers' standards.
Yeah, that's an interesting read. It doesn't mean, let's say that it goes that way and Rodgers elects not to play or whether it's retire or maybe want to try to, you know, finagle his way to another team, it doesn't mean that his instincts about Woody and the balance of power and the next chapter of the Jets maybe not being incredibly optimistic doesn't mean that he's right. He can feel that in real time. And conversely, he could say, you know what? I love what I heard from Aaron. I really like the core components of this team, but I believe with a little tweak here, a little Dean lineman, one more old lineman, one more tight end, whatever, maybe a safety, that we can go 10 wins, 11 wins, make ourselves relevant. And he can think that, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be right. So I guess I'm less concerned about that, and I'm more. And yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's a valid point. I was most concerned about what messaging would be projected. Number one, about, you know, lifting up the fan base. Yeah, whatever. That's fun. But directly, because you know Aaron was watching that on his couch, probably in Malibu, maybe in Cedar Grove, whatever, sitting there watching that, saying, all right, this dude's not messing around. Yeah. I better get off my ass, and I'm either in or I'm out, and I got to let him know soon. Well, I thought it was brilliant.
And Glenn said they've already texted. I love the fact that he came out and, like, instead of being timid about it or shy.
You can't hide from the biggest story in the room.
Right, but some people do. They wait, and then they get tongue-twisted, and they don't, which is why the truth is the most important thing, because there's no way to get tongue-twisted or be timid about it. Like, here's the reality of it. I know you're going to ask about Aaron Rodgers. Guess what? I already spoke with him. We texted about it. We're making decisions on the roster here. This is not just about Aaron Rodgers. It's about the entire team and the entire roster. Boom. Done. Like, now
perfect.
Now what are you going to say? Like, Eminem and 8 Mile. Like, yeah, I do live in a trailer with my mom. Like, what are you going to say, Papa Doc? I said it all. And if Glenn goes out there and says it all, then, wait, I got no questions. You already talked to Rodgers? Yeah. It's about the roster. So that's why I love what Glenn said. Obviously, there's a long way to go. BT's got to follow through with all the stuff, which is why I was just thinking about Rodgers' decision in itself will be telling. I do think Glenn will want Rodgers back, because I think Aaron Glenn is smart enough to realize he needs to win now. They want to win now and also have sustained success. What's the best way to have sustained success, which is something Glenn reiterated yesterday, where Bruce Beck was saying, hey, they just want to win. Forget about sustained success. Uh-huh. He's like, no, I want sustained success. Well, the best way to do that is to lay the foundation by winning now and then eventually transition to the next quarterback and start winning then. And I think Glenn knows that, and I believe that they're going to want Rodgers back. I just don't know what Rodgers is going to want to do.
Yeah, no, neither do I, though I surmise he's going to come back, but who the heck knows? I mean, Rodgers could keep you guessing. I don't know. I don't think he'll play the game in terms of, you know, disappearing or stretching this thing out. And that's one of the common misconceptions about Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a lot more team-oriented than people think. If you saw the documentary when he hobbled in on crutches and he was in the Jets meeting room at their facility, and he's like, man, I'd love to be out there with you guys tonight or tomorrow or this week, whatever it was. I think it was the Chiefs game going into that Chiefs game. And he just really spoke from the heart, and I think it was real. And I think it connected. And I think that he's a lot more well. I don't think he's disliked at all. Now, does everybody think that he's still a star? Maybe there's varying degrees about that. Does he come with the equity that he had with the Packers? No, because he hasn't won for the Jets. So, you know, when you win a Super Bowl for a franchise, you can bark in the huddle. You know, you can flap your eyeballs up at the sky when somebody runs the wrong route or breaks the wrong way and it gets picked or it hits the turf. Or you can put your hands up and look at the heavens and say, what's going on? And basically show somebody up, which he did a few times, which I don't like. And you can do that when you've got that built-in cachet, which he has in Green Bay. He doesn't really have that here. But, Sal, I submit to you the easiest question of the day, and I actually wrote down a couple of names. To me, the options are whether it's Darnold for biggish money.
No way.
No. Or Carr or Fields. And Fields is the only one who's even remotely possibly appealing to me. Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston, Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton, Mariota, Garoppolo, Flacco, Rudolph. I mean, when you hear those names, those are bridge names. So I think people need to disassociate the legend of Rodgers, and like, because I think that there's this thought that, well, he can't possibly be a bridge quarterback. Why not?
He is a bridge quarterback.
He can bridge you to a year of relevance, which creates a winning culture, which gets the young guys some meaningful games and hopefully a playoff game. All those names I ripped off, there is not even close. And none of those guys can shine Aaron Rodgers' shoes. None.
How about the idea, and there's always two sides to it. You and I happen to agree in this particular case with Aaron Rodgers, but how about the idea, and there are some who vehemently feel that Rodgers is a negative, right? Instead of just looking at the potential results on the field and quarterback for quarterback, all those names you just listed clearly to me and you, and I think a lot of people would say, if you're looking at it unbiasedly, just on the field, Rodgers gives you the best chance to win now. But what about the negative cloud with the attention that Rodgers draws?
Yep.
And potentially being a negative for this culture. Has that crept in at all? It never did for me, but with a first-time head coach and a guy who seems like he's hell-bent on changing the people that create the culture, so he seems like he has a clue as to how to fix it, learning from the great Bill Parcells, it did for the first time creep in. Maybe he might benefit from just having a, you know, not
like
that,
a clean cut, like a clean start.
Well, especially with somebody the magnitude of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't feel that way. I honestly don't. I mean, some people talk about Aaron Rodgers like he's Dennis Rodman.
Yeah,
like he's going to destroy the I mean, listen, what Aaron Rodgers has got no tolerance for fools, and he's got no tolerance for being all in on the football field. If you're all in and you're locked into your assignments, film, weight room, game day stuff, the preparation, all the elements that it takes to be a pro, a truly diligent pro, I think Aaron Rodgers is an incredible asset in any building. I truly believe that. You know, if people don't agree with that, I respect that. That's your opinion. I would want to know why. I would want to know where's the evidence. Like, what has promoted that thought? Is it stuff maybe away from football that's infiltrated your mind?
Well, they say the McAfee stuff takes away the attention.
But what does it, though?
Rodgers not taking a care. I mean, we've heard it from a lot of people. This was the – I mean
– Yeah, but we hear it from people. I know that we hear it. But do we hear it from people because it's true or because they take certain things, they make it bigger than it really is because they don't like Rodgers? Like, what adversely has the McAfee appearances done?
Right.
Like, what has it really done that's brought shame to the Jets organization? Or, you know, him dissing teammates or dissing coaches? The answer is, I think the answer is nothing.
We've also heard some stuff about the players not loving Rodgers.
Oh, though. So, we're talking about Garrett?
Well,
that's it?
I mean, maybe that's one. And then I've heard stuff over the, you know, last year or so that they thought they loved it at first, but then they don't, you know, want to buy it. Now, I've always said, and I said this during the season, beginning of the season, I think it's on them more than it is on the four-time MVP, Super Bowl-winning Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
But there's this notation of, oh, well, you can't choose Aaron Rodgers over Garrett Wilson or whoever, which players don't want to buy in for Rodgers.
Which, by the way, is true.
Yeah, right.
I think that's incredibly short-sighted and dumb. I mean, any franchise that values at this point Aaron Rodgers, now you've got to come up with the money, and Garrett Wilson might get $100 million guaranteed. Roughly, the wide receiver market is absolutely exploding. They've got to come to the determination if he's worth it. I think that he really is. I think. I'm not 100%, but I'm 99%. No, of course, long-term and moving forward, even past this year, it's Garrett Wilson. That doesn't mean they can't coexist, and that doesn't mean that you can't have him as a bridge and Garrett Wilson as your franchise wide receiver.
You ever think about how many Aarons we now have in this town?
I'm getting sick, dude. I have to plow through this day.
You're getting sick?
I'm feeling it, man.
You know, I started to feel a little bit this morning.
I felt like ass last night. I can't stand NyQuil. I hate it. My wife went out and got me some NyQuil.
Yeah.
Like, I said, I got to be right for Booney. Hey. I got to kick his ass in cars. I got to take him down.
Forget Booney. I got surgery tomorrow. I can't be sick for that. You ever think that we're getting too many Aarons in this town? Aaron Glenn.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Judge. And Aaron Boone.
I love all of them, actually. Pretty good with all of them.
Where would you rank the Aarons?
Okay, I'll do that for
we'll
you.
We'll do that. Let's get to the calls.
We'll rank them.
Let's make sure Booty's in the car when he's driving down here. We rank the Aarons in this
so
town.
So it's Judge, it's Glenn, it's
Rodgers,
Booty, and it's Rodgers.
I'll rank them for you. If I'm missing anybody, we could remind
them. I got you.
BT and Sal, the fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Robbie is in Babylon. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking the call. I am one of those believers that Rodgers is not it. He is a black cloud over our team. We need to get rid of him. What do you guys think about trading that first-round pick for J.J. McCarthy?
First of all, I don't think the Vikings are going to do that, but I'd really like to know why you view him as a black cloud.
Sorry, I cut him off.
No, I got you. Yeah. No, I saw that. That's why I was kind of changed gears. Like, you know, it's one thing if the Jets had incredible success, and then Aaron Rodgers showed up, and they just took this crazy turn downward, like, that's a little interesting. Things are rolling pretty nice. So this guy showed up, and it's a complete disaster. But it's not. I mean, yeah, I know that he didn't elevate, but there's nobody, and we thought that he would, and he tried. He just got hurt, you know, four plays in his first year here, and they were incredibly poorly coached, and their depth and too many spots was weak. Like, do you really think? I guess I have to accept it. I don't agree. Do you really think that Aaron Rodgers was a deterrent to winning? That he was a detriment to moving forward? Do people really think that?
Some people do. And I'm not talking about listeners or fans. I'm talking about people. There are some people in the know that do believe that that's the case.
I'd still disagree. I don't care in the know they are.
Yeah,
I completely disagree.
And I say the same thing. When I hear that, I say, I don't care.
Yep.
You know why I don't care? Because I know what a winner looks like. And Aaron Rodgers is it. I've read the books. I've watched the shows. I've watched him. He's not the same player that he once was. But if there's a problem and Rodgers is perceived to be the problem. To me, it's the people who are perceiving him to be the problem that are, in fact, the problem themselves.
Dude, let me ask you this. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers was such a bad dude, such a bad teammate, do you think that Davante Adams would be his best friend?
No.
Do you think that Randall Cobb would want to follow him here? Do you think that Bakhtiari tears up when he talks about their relationship? Do you think that... we saw what Mike McCarthy said about his former quarterback.
Right.
I mean, and now I'm not saying that there aren't some disgruntled former teammates, but I ask you, and I don't know the answer, but I'm pretty sure I can deduce what the answer is. Are they chapped or are they disenchanted with Rodgers? Because, I don't know, maybe they didn't pull their weight and an all-time great quarterback called them out on the carpet for it? I mean, really?
I'm with you, and I don't want to hear any nonsense otherwise. Now, talking about Rodgers' skill set at this point, that's a different argument.
Agreed.
He's clearly not the MVP that he once was or the Super Bowl-winning quarterback that he once was.
Nope.
He's also, in my mind, clearly better than all those other options you just listed. I mean, if there's something potentially appealing about pairing Aaron Glenn with Justin Fields, maybe. I mean,
that's the only name that I'm even remotely interested in.
Yeah,
and I gave you 12 names. So,
but the other side, like, I think people don't like Aaron Rodgers, and they don't like that maybe they feel he craves the attention. I don't even know if he craves the attention. Could he do, you know, something more to limit the attention, like not go on McAfee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. But if he wants to do it, he wants to set the record straight. I don't look at Aaron Rodgers as a negative in that light. Brian is calling from Red Bank. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to touch on the Aaron Rodgers. First, I don't agree with this whole Aaron Rodgers black cloud, you know, what the last caller said. I totally disagree with it. I think Aaron Rodgers' down years would be some quarterback's best years. If Justin Fields put up Rodgers' numbers this year for the Steelers, mm-hmm. he'd be getting a Daniel Jones-esque contract with another team, in my opinion, or he would stay with the Steelers. So that's one. And BT, too, I agree with you. I think he's a great bridge quarterback. This isn't Glenn. This isn't their quarterback. This isn't the situation that they went out there and got him. But yep. he's a fantastic quarterback if he wants to stay. We don't know that answer. But a name that's like, BT, you were bringing up like Derek Carr and maybe some of the quarterbacks that are out there that you could potentially bring in if Rodgers decides not to play. What about Jordan Travis sitting behind Rodgers? I mean, if he didn't get hurt at Florida State, he was going to be a first-round pick last year.
Yep.
And Florida State would have went to the playoffs. They solely didn't go to the playoffs,
I know.
The college football playoffs, because Travis got hurt. And now all of a sudden it's like, I'm not saying he's going to be the guy.
Let me ask you this. So the Jordan Travis situation, and he wasn't fully recovered at the end of the season. I don't know how much athleticism he eventually, you know, how much he lost and if it's going to regenerate. I mean, that was a devastating injury. That was gruesome. So I don't know physically where he's at, but I'll tell you this, just use common sense. A quarterback room with Aaron Rodgers and his ability to see things and communicate things, don't you think that the young man would benefit by having Rodgers there rather than having, it's just there's value for Rodgers even though he's not quite the same player. And the other thing that he was, I hear this a lot, Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is it worth it, or is it worth it, to have Rodgers come back for 1 year, and maybe they don't 10 wins, make a wild card, and then the next year he's 42 and he's done, and then he got to start over again. Like, why would you basically punt on a year? Well, number one, when you're trying to end the longest playoff drought in North American sports history, or current, not yeah. history, current North American team sports, why would you, however you can end that malaise
yeah.
is worth it. And then the other guys will benefit residually down the road when Rodgers is 43 and 44 and playing golf or going to Costa Rica and sleeping in the mountains with goats. Whatever else he's going to do, they will have had the benefit of, I don't know, playing an 18th game, maybe a 19th game. There's the value.
Yeah, I don't understand anybody who thinks otherwise. And if you just don't like Rodgers personally, I implore you to, you know how many people, I was like, you got to watch the special on Rodgers. And like, no interest. I don't even want to watch it.
I know, because they don't like him.
Yeah, just open your mind to it.
That was my first reaction when you asked me on the air.
I know.
I'm like, yeah, I'm so disgusted by the season.
Right.
Why do I want to? I like him even more.
And I'm glad you opened your mind to the idea of watching it, and now you like him. So if you...
I always liked him, but I like him more.
Well, that's what I mean. If other people who don't like him don't want to open their mind to it, just watch the show and tell me if you don't like him then, or at least believe that he could be a leader or an asset to any organization. We'll continue with your calls, 888-808-1019. Remember, Aaron Boone in studio today with us at 1 o'clock. We'll have some fun with Booney, do a little pull your card. He wanted to take us on, so here we go. We'll talk, obviously, a lot of Yanks as well. So a lot to do, BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this now Tuesday morning. Yeah, we'll have Aaron Boone in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. We're all excited for that. We'll continue with your calls here on Aaron Glenn. I did notice my partner's got the turtleneck going today.
I do.
You ready? You ready for Booney? You got the nice turtleneck?
I am. I'm ready. You know, I wanted to ask you this. I was thinking about this. I'm like, all right, we're talking a little smack. We're saying, you know, for the last, you know, week or two. All right, oh, listen, we're gonna knock around Booney, take him down.
Yeah.
Are you nervous at all? The last thing we want to do is just have a dud of a showing. And before you finish, I'm going to say this to Aaron. Think about it. He played with all these guys. So, like, if Aaron Boone doesn't go 13 for 15, you know, he just completely tripped all over himself and he choked. Where, you know, if we get the wrong pack, we could go 5 for 15 if it's a brutal pack.
Yeah.
A little nervous?
No, not really. I want to win. I want to beat him.
Yeah, me too.
But I feel like you asked me if I was nervous. I was more intense when we did the World Series last year. Me versus you, especially last year, I was like, I cannot lose this thing. We ended up having a great series, and I'm looking forward to that. Like, I think head-to-head me versus you means more. This is like an exhibition. Plus, I know I'm going to take him down.
Sometimes exhibitions end poorly. Yeah. Ask Apollo.
I know I'm going to take him down. I'm not worried about it. Yeah, you might, man. Maybe Booney. Well, see, you're already a little nervous.
No, I'm not. I'm actually really excited. But what I'm going to do, and I don't think he's listening now. See, one thing that I think we have to remain consistent to who we are as a show.
Yeah.
And every time we do one of these games, there's always a bet attached to it. And every time I bring every time I bring this up on the air, you're always like, nah, we don't need that. And I'm always like, yeah, no, we do. Now, we'll give him a chance to come up with something, like if he wins. Yeah. But I'm telling you, if we win, even if it's just one of us, what would you see?
You're going to do a batting practice at the stadium?
We're going to be able to, yes.
Come on.
Why do you not think that that's possible?
I don't want to get it. You know what I'm nervous about? I'm not even nervous, but like, I'm not worried about the card game.
Yeah.
I've been calling Boone a data applicator for years. Well, did I ever read you the excerpt from, I saved it because I'm going to have to bring it up today. I have to take some accountability.
Okay.
There was an excerpt from Joel Sherman's column 2 years ago.
All right.
Okay. And I would go on the overnight and be like, yeah, he's a data applicator. They're all data applicators. I do want on SNY. Half joking, but half serious. So I want to get to the bottom of this. We'll have some fun with him. But Boone was talking about something about getting rubbed the wrong way. He goes, one thing rubbed me wrong. I heard something. I listened to things a little more in the offseason. This is a quote from Joel Sherman in the Post a couple years ago. Imagine me when I was reading it. I listened to things a little more in the offseason. During the season, I don't see much. I'm not oblivious to things, but they called me a data applicator.
Wow.
Like, I'm not a baseball guy, just some data applicator. I've been in this game all my life, bro. I'm baseball through and through as anyone. Hey, it goes on. So,
no.
Yeah, man.
Honestly, he's going to have to smack you around a little bit for that verbally.
Andy Martino,
you got
see
a little beatdown coming with that.
Martino goes, Sal Licata gets his comeuppance today about for calling Boone a data applicator for years.
I'm with Andy, and I'm going to be with Boone once he starts lighting you up.
Yeah, I know, and that's the other thing. You and Boone are going to have this Yankee bromance.
No. More like a baseball bromance. Not necessarily a Yankee bromance.
A baseball bromance because you played at Mariners.
No, I don't mean that. Stop. I couldn't shine those guys' shoes. I don't mean that at all.
And then, but Booney, check out my swing. And then the Yankees.
I might do a little Mattingly impersonation for him during the breaks, but not my swing.
Either way, we're going to have some fun with him. Looking forward to it. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here. We're talking about Aaron Glenn and Aaron Rodgers, two of the other Aarons in town. Cameron is in Mendham, New Jersey. What's up, Cameron? Hey, Cameron.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Yep.
Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you. Long-time Giants fan. I know you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, so here's my thing. Take Aaron Rodgers, send him to the Giants. Giants trade for offensive linemen. They trade away their pick. I know Shedeur Sanders wants to come to the Giants, but Aaron Rodgers should be in New York. Let him play for the Giants and then use the picks for better purposes.
Well, thank you. But what does that do for the Giants?
Yeah, see,
Giants aren't ready to win.
Well, that's the point, BT. It's Like, I'm not opposed to having Rodgers be a stopgap quarterback for other teams than the Jets, but the Giants, that's the last thing the Giants need. The Giants need a franchise quarterback, yeah, or at least one with potential, like Justin Fields. If Justin Fields were to come to the Giants, now, I don't love that idea. I think they should go get Shador Sanders, even though I don't love Sanders. I feel like that's their best option at potentially finding a franchise quarterback. Then what are they going to do with Aaron Rodgers? Like, give me the best-case scenario. Let's say Rodgers has an MVP-type season for the Giants. What's the best-case scenario for them?
In that division? Maybe third? Maybe ahead of Dallas?
Right, like, maybe a playoff team, and then what? You're still going to need the next guy. The Jets can win now and a playoff job. Like, the Giants had the one-off success a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They need to redo it. They need a franchise quarterback that Shane and Dable can develop. The Jets need to end the drought. They need to win now, show that they could win with this new head coach, start to build the foundation. And the best way to do that with a roster that's built to kind of win now is to have Aaron Rodgers back.
Yeah, I also, you know, we keep talking about this playoff drought, but I also think the burden of pressure, it shifts a little bit. It changes a little bit. Not that it wouldn't come back. Of course, you coach or manage in New York, the spotlight's white hot and it never goes away. But, you know, Aaron Glenn coming off a 4-13 year without Rodgers versus, say, going into year 2, 9-8, 10-7. With Aaron Rodgers, there's a different tone to the evaluation in year 2 if things start off really slow. If you're coming off a 4-win season or a 9 or 10 win season. That's just the way it is.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, fellas, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Charlie!
Hey, listen, another coordinator went in a press conference. I've been down that road, but I have a good feeling about Aaron Glenn. You know, he played for the lows with the Jets and then played for the highs with the Jets. He's a leader amongst the men in that room. And with Aaron Rodgers, him being a coach, I want him back. You know why? He's going to dictate the room, and he's going to do the talking. Not like with Aaron Rodgers with Saleh, where Aaron Rodgers ran the room, not Saleh. It's going to be a totally different thing. They have to bring back Rodgers. We have no other plan in place. And Rodgers had one of the
Charlie, Muji might have a plan in place that we don't yet know about. Imagine the plan was Zach Wilson. No. I mean, imagine if Muji watched him every day in practice. He's like, this kid, they messed him up, man. I mean, obviously, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he has an alternate plan to, you know. And by the way, even if Rodgers comes back, you still need to start cultivating a new player. So there's always got to be a secondary plan that you're ready to hatch at some point soon. The thing, too, about Rodgers and about Aaron Glenn, not Rodgers. You're right. The Aarons are definitely overload of Aarons. And we will prioritize that a little bit. I got it written down, too. So when you've got the wreckage that Aaron Glenn was a part of as a player. And he spoke about this yesterday. He misspoke. He thought his first year they were 2-15, 2-14, and then he thought they were 1-15. They were actually 3-13, then 1-15, then 9-7, then 12-4. And of course that was the Denver game in the AFC Championship game. But we focus on that, how he was part of that rebirth and that renaissance with the Jets. Hey, that was a long time ago. You know what wasn't a long time ago? The rebirth and the renaissance of the Lions,
right,
which he was also a part of.
And he referenced that, too, learning from the Parcells tree, and whether it's Bill years ago or Campbell or his time with Sean Payton. There's a lot there from Aaron Glenn. For me, it's kind of simple, BT. You want to win now and build that foundation and that drought. Rodgers does give them the best chance to do that. The other thing that Charlie pointed out was, with Rodgers, it really felt clearly that he was the alpha male. To me, that said more about Saleh than it did about Rodgers. There was this thought like, oh, Rodgers is taking over and taking control. Yeah, well, if you're in a room with a guy who needs to be the alpha male, but he's not, then you better take over. Rodgers will not be the alpha male here. Aaron Glenn is clear. I'm not saying Rodgers isn't an alpha male, but in this case, so is Aaron Glenn. There will be no deferrals. Glenn already laid the groundwork. He set the standard. I'm the guy in charge. This is how we do things. Football operation, looking at the roster. I've already texted Rodgers. Like, I don't think that the power dynamic between Rodgers and Glenn is going to be anything close to what it was with Rodgers and Saleh.
I think it's an awesome point. I completely agree. And listen, the other thing that Aaron said, well, among many things, he said, I'm going to go to the building with Muji. I'm going to sit down, watch every single play from this season. And listen, they very well were under the assumption that Aaron, you and I both kind of think this, that Aaron Glenn is going to want Aaron Rodgers to not beg him, but he's more open to it than not. We'll see what Rodgers is thinking. That's really the root of the discussion today. But it very well could be a situation where they watch literally every single snap of the season, and they don't deem it the offensive line or the play calling. They just say to themselves, he's just not as mobile, and he doesn't quite have the arm talent that we thought he might still have. Let's move on. That's also a possibility. I don't think that'll happen. If they watch the first four or five games, that would be their opinion. If they watch the last 2 months, I think it's a different player.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan Special Day, having the Yankee manager Aaron Boone in studio, 1 o'clock. A little pull your card. I got it right here, BT, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89.
Those are some nice looking packs, man. Still fresh, in the...
Freshies. Yeah, these ones.
Those are fresh ones right
there. This is like $30 each right here.
30?
Yeah.
Like, good, expensive. I'm sure you'll get it back at some point.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, but what I am going to do is hopefully we pull like a Tony Gwynn rookie. I think it's Gwynn and Boggs or something. They're a special card. 84 is Mattingly and Straw. 85 has a bunch too, Doc and Clemens. Anyway, they could be worth something depending on what kind of condition they're in. But we have those packs set for Aaron Boone, who will be joining us in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. And because of that, and because of the Jets' new hire yesterday and the conversation today about the quarterback, a lot of Aarons here in this town. Maybe not even that many, but impactful Aarons. You have Boone, you have Glenn, you have Rodgers, you have Judge. So let's rank the Aarons, and this will be rank them based on, I don't want to say talent, maybe impact or...
You want to go with impact?
Yeah, let's go impact.
All right, go with impact. So... Obviously, so this is the impact list. Clearly, Judge by far is number one.
Right.
And clearly, since the criteria is impact, Glenn is last.
Right.
Because he hasn't done anything yet except just get us a little jacked up after another awful season, which we appreciate, by the way, Coach. All right, so Judge one, Glenn four. Impact. Oh, Booney is two, and Rodgers is three. Yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
Already with the kiss ass.
He's won five games, Aaron Rodgers. I like him.
I mean, but it's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Boone was just in the World Series.
Aaron Rodgers is four-time
MVP.
Get
the hell out of here. Yeah, not for us.
But it was specific to here or just impact in general?
I mean, I took it as here. That's how I took it.
Well, how about this one?
What?
Rank the Aarons and who you'd want to hang out with.
Hang out like dinner, drinks, socially, hang out like with that?
Or have in studio to hang out with.
That's a good one. All right, that's a good one.
Probably flips almost, no?
I'm going to say that Judge might be last.
For the record, I had Judge, Rodgers, Boone, then Glenn in the last one.
Yeah, you did? Okay. In terms of hanging out, I don't know that Judge is a big party, or not that I am, but if I want to have like a really fun night, don't you think you have to go Rodgers one?
Yeah, this is a tough one because I do love Boone.
I think Boone could get loose too. So to me, it's either Rodgers or Boone one. In terms of having a good night out.
Rodgers might be, though, I would love to interview him, and I would love to hang with him.
Yep.
But he might be a little too sophisticated for my liking.
Maybe he couldn't understand what he was saying, or he just didn't even get bored.
Get bored by it. The books and theories.
I would appreciate
philosophy.
That to a limit.
Right,
to
like you're more political. I don't care about this. I don't want to get into it.
He talks about literature. It's not all politics.
I think I'm going...
Religion? Yeah, it's deep.
No, I'm kissing ass. I'm going Boone first in this regard. I'd want to hang with Boone, then Glenn. I think Glenn could be...
Yeah, I get it.
Now, although I worry about, like, if I had maybe one drink too many, Glenn would be like, put that down. You've had enough, you've had enough to drink. That's enough.
He might.
But I would go, maybe I'd change that up. Maybe I go Boone 1, Rodgers 2, Glenn 3, Judge 4.
Judge away from the field seems a little boring.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's fine.
He's an amazing person, but.
I'm sure he's fine. I like the other guys better.
I'm with you.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll have the opportunity to hang out with one of those Aarons today coming up at 1 o'clock. Back to talking about the other Aarons. Johnny K is in the Bronx. What's up, Johnny?
Yes, how you doing? You know, there's two scenarios here. This is a great year for edge rushers in the draft. So you got to keep Rodgers. Hope you get an edge rusher. And you can get lightning in the bottle with Rodgers. I thought he had a great second half. He moved better. He threw the ball well. And what's your alternative? Maybe you take Will Howard in the third round or Milroe from Alabama. Then, but I keep Rodgers. You can get light in that division. You can win that division.
Well,
that division is not so tough.
Well, I mean, listen, let's give the Bills a little more respect than that. But I got you. I think no matter what happens, I think the next plan for the Jets has to basically always include, throwing a line in the water every draft here and coming out with a quarterback, until you actually find one. So you have a situation maybe someday like you have Brady, you have Garoppolo, you have Jacoby Brissett. Again, varying degrees of success there. Brissett's a good backup. Jimmy G is... is a slightly above average starter, maybe not right now, but he was for a couple of years. And I think that that's how you improve the quarterback room. I think that you do that. Now, the problem is you've got to make sure the other positions of need, you got to make sure your O-line's set up, because you can't just take a flyer on a quarterback in round three if you got, you know, two turnstiles on the offensive line. Your quarterback's going to get killed.
What do you think is their biggest need right now?
I think they got to stop the run. I actually think their offensive line, I know that sounds crazy because it's been a problem for a while, is better than their D-line. I think their run stopping was awful.
Hypothetically, if the Jets were picking where the Giants were.
At three?
Yeah. What would you say? Like, would you want a quarterback now? Say Shador forces his way. Let's just say the Jets are in a similar situation. Shador might force his way out of Cleveland.
I don't want Shador Sanders for the Giants, so I don't want him for the Jets. Okay. I don't think he's what a lot of people think he is.
So it's more about this draft not being quarterback.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I would I be open to, right, like, if I had the third spot with the Jets and there was a quarterback, like there was three or four quarterbacks, yeah, and I love what, yeah, I think you could do that.
Because let's play this out. Let's say that best case scenario, right? Jets select whoever they select with the seventh pick. Aaron Rodgers.
I think they're going to trade, by the way. That's just
trade
my
gut. Down?
Trade out. Yeah, get
okay.
Some, yeah.
Well, whatever. Let's say they have a 10-win season. Rodgers comes back. Glenn's first year, 10-win season. They get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to be picking middle of the pack the following year.
And he won't have a chance to get that quarterback. Yeah.
Right. So, like, there could be, and then even if, let's say, Rodgers comes back again and whatever, you're 8-9-win team, you know what I mean? Like,
it's a good thought process, actually. It's that. Well, that's why the Giants picking Saquon at two. Well, that's one of the reasons the Giants taking Saquon at two was problematic there. You know, listen, if you're in a spot and you're drafting top three, top four, and you're a franchise who doesn't, and now you've got to be right in these projections, but doesn't anticipate being there again anytime soon based on your talent, then you probably got to take the swing when you're there. I know what you mean.
It's exactly what the Atlanta Falcons did a year ago with Penix. Now,
yes,
it happened to
but
be,
they loved Penix. Right. You can't just like somebody.
Well, that's the point. Yes, they wouldn't have just taken somebody just to take one, especially in that spot.
No.
But they loved him. He was there, even though they had a quarterback and people ridiculed them and criticized them. They could. Like, when are you going to get that opportunity again to get a guy that you love?
Yeah. And you like the pick. I remember the next day, and I like. Yeah. I remember watching Penix in Indiana.
Yeah.
Not just out west with Washington. I've watched him for years. I like him.
I didn't
but
like...
But you were okay with that.
Here's why. Because I like the thought behind it. It was less about what I think Penix was going to be or what, you know, wasn't going to be. It was more about they saw a player that they love, and the quarterback position is the most precious thing. It's the most valued position in the NFL.
So when you're the most elusive, too.
Well, so when you have a chance to get one.
I hear you.
And they may never be back there again. Like, I thought Atlanta would be better this year, but, you know, playoff team with Kirk Cousins. And by the way, even then, they're not picking in a quarterback spot now. So, like, the goal was to never be picking that high again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a chance, then take that quarterback, which is why I thought it was imperative that the Giants take a quarterback a year ago. They didn't. And now they're in a spot where they kind of have to.
And could reach, which is the worst thing
right.
to do.
Eric is in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Eric.
BC, Sal, how we doing, gentlemen?
Great, what's up?
What's happening?
Great conversation on the Jets. And yeah, I fired up after that presser yesterday. But yeah, been there, done that as a Jets fan. So we'll reserve judgment until the season starts. And I'm excited about it. As far as the other Aaron and Rodgers, I completely agree with you guys. I don't see any other way that the Jets are successful without Rodgers at quarterback one next year. And I think... another caller mentioned it, Jordan Travis. That's interesting to me. I don't know where he is in his journey. I know he's had some setbacks and such, but I think, you know, there's always a feel, you know, there's something there. But to me, it's going into the draft. If the Jets truly believe that there is somebody, maybe it's a late round pick like Denver did with Bo Nix, who knows? You know, if they think there's a quarterback there, maybe that's an option. But what drives me crazy is this narrative, whether it's from Jets fans or not, that, you know, they've got to find, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes, right? And they need to get to the Super Bowl. And it's like, look, how about we just win more games than we lose, right? How about we enter the playoffs? How about we just see progress? And the best way for us to get there is with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. I think particularly for Glenn, like, he needs to succeed. He needs to change that culture, which, you know, is a word I hate. But nonetheless, he does need to change the locker room. Winning does that, right? Winning solves all. So if the Jets can walk into next year, even if it's a 9-8 season, and
I agree,
they skip the playoffs.
Listen, that's a really good point, and I know we're up against it. I look at it this way. Everybody that's ever played golf more than once or twice wants to eventually become scratched. None of us do, but you want to, or you want to break 80. You always have these boundaries, right? But before you get there, you've got to break 100.
Right.
Right now, the Jets are they shoot 109s out there. Like, they are wretched. They five putt. They take seven mulligans. They don't really pay attention to the rules. They are atrocious. Just get shoot a 94 before you find your Mahomes.
You can't go from zero to Super Bowl.
No.
You just can't do it. You have to build a winner up the right way, the hard way, and that takes time. BT and Sal on the Fan, more of your calls when we come back.